We have another live show for you guys. We're coming back to New York City because I'm back in town. We put something together for May 15th. We're back at Sesh Comedy. Show starts at 7:30. Doors open at 7 p.m.
I'm so excited. We loved Sesh when we were there the last time. I'm pumped to be able to do another show back in New York so soon. So Wednesday, May 15th.
For tickets, head to our website at findingmrheight.com/live. That's findingmrheight.com/live. You can get your tickets right there.
That ticket link will be up as you are hearing this announcement.
And the venue is BYOB. So if you want a drink, bring a drink. If you like a Diet Coke, bring a Diet Coke. And we're going to hang out afterwards. We can say hello to everybody. Hope to see you all there.
See you there.
Oh, you're looking for someone funny and kind? Guess what? That's me. Like, surprise. I'm sure you haven't met anyone else who's funny or kind. That's crazy.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Height, the podcast. I'm Allie, back with my co-host Erica. Erica, hello, hello.
Hello, hello. How are you feeling tonight, Allie?
You know exactly how I'm feeling.
We got Allie fresh off a work dinner, feeling a little loose right now. I'm very excited.
Feel a little loose. I took my team out for dinner and we went to a Spanish tapas place. It was delicious and we did have some wine. We did.
Yes, but good. You need it. You work hard. You need to play for a little bit, you know?
It was good. It was also fun. Like, you know, I mostly work from home. My team mostly works from home. We're in market right now. We're in the office. It was really nice to see everybody in person and also like get out to dinner after work and not talk about work.
Yes, very much. Because it can just be draining. You're doing the same stuff, talking about the same stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was lovely. So, it was great, and I'm a little bit drained. I've been in the office more days than usual, and I have been especially leaning on my Sunset Lake gummies to help me fall asleep so that I can really be rested for the next day. I'm almost out. I have to reorder.
I mean, I go through these things like candy, which might not be the best thing to say, but it's true. it almost is like tricking my brain of I'm like, ooh, gummies. And then all of a sudden I'm on the couch like, man, I feel like I could fall asleep right now.
Imagine that.
It's the best though. I love it. I just re-upped my little supply here for my place in LA. I've gotten into the body lotion as well because your girl's been on a little bit of a workout kick. And my legs are sore as hell. So,
are you using the like Arnica?
I even used the like regular lotion they have.
Oh yeah,
which was really really great. But yeah, I love it. Especially they have if you don't like strong scents, they have an unscented one as well. Very very clutch. But the lotion is great quality, honestly. Especially I'm out here; it's a little bit drier out here, so I need some extra moisture.
I'm definitely a lotion girly, and if anybody else wants to try it, you can go to sunsetlakecbd.com. And use our promo code FMH20 to get 20% off your order.
Yes. Don't miss out. Promo code FMH20. You could use it as many times as you want for 20% off sunsetlakecbd.com.
Truly love them. What is going on? How are we feeling in LA?
I've been feeling really, really great. I kind of oddly feel guilty of how much I am enjoying myself out here.
Why do you feel guilty?
I don't know. I think what's hard is I still have like a lot of my good friends really are still in New York, but it has been really, really nice spending more time with all my friends that have been out here. And also just honestly taking like a break from shows has been really, really nice. And I did not realize how much I needed it till.
Yeah. You've been going nonstop,
right now,
man.
Yeah. So it's kind of, I don't want to say it's an odd life because I feel like it's the life that a lot of people leave. Of like, you do your work, you go to your job, you maybe go to a workout, you come home, you make yourself dinner. Like, you get that vegging time. And I just haven't had that. And I've been really bad of beating myself up when I have days that I don't get a lot done.
Yeah.
And trying to just have like even an hour before I go to bed where I just chill and don't worry about all the stuff I have to do tomorrow and I don't know, all that stuff. So I'm kind of fully drinking some LA Kool-Aid right now of the the more chill vibe lifestyle.
I mean, you posted like an incense farmer's market picture on Instagram today, so.
Oh, hilarious. It was all these products about like cleansing your room and, you know, getting the demons out with the sage or whatever the sage fucking does. And then there's these signs all over also like, and if you steal, it's bad karma and what goes around comes around. It's the worst kind of karma you can have. And I'm
sage
like,
will not help you.
Yeah. Oh, you think the sage is going to help your room? Not if you steal it, bitch. If you steal
not
it.
Not if you steal it. Only sage has been paid for.
Yeah, we're going to come for you. I was like,
stolen sage, not good.
I know. I was like, wow, this is really infringing on people's, I don't know, beliefs. I have no idea. But I do have a fun update for you.
Yeah. Is it about the date that you sent me a selfie from?
No, that's another thing. But I was going to tell you this first. Okay. So first of all, thank you very much publicly for my birthday gift. I don't know if I've talked about it on this pod, but I've been become like a bathhouse girl. I love a sauna.
Oh, you have talked about it. Hello. Oh, yeah. That's how the nurse started. Oh, shit. Yes. We don't talk about that on the main pod.
All right. Well, you got to go to the Patreon to hear the rest of it. So anyway.
Sorry.
Anyway, it's fine. It's fine. That's why I was like, I don't know if I mentioned it here.
Oops.
Anyway, yeah, if you want that story, go to the Patreon. But so I've become a bathhouse lady, and you very kindly got me a gift certificate to a bathhouse in LA. So I went.
Did you go?
I used it. I did. I used it this week. And Allie, I don't know if you know this, but you gave me a gift certificate to a nude bathhouse.
I did know that.
Oh, did you know? Okay, I was like, yeah, I don't know if Allie knows this, but there are literally signs up with a swimsuit and a big no through it. It was like, don't even think about wearing your one piece.
Okay, was I right that you would kind of like that vibe?
I mean, the thing is, I don't care, but it was kind of a funny surprise if I was like, well, guess we're going naked. And my locker also didn't have a towel, so I was like, I guess I can't even wrap myself in a towel.
Oh my God!
Which that was just a mistake. But that was fun. I made some friends just walking around naked being like, where'd you get your towel, by the way?
Hello. I see other people in towels. Where might I acquire one?
I know. But honestly, I like being nude. So I was like, this ain't bad. So I
did a lot of research in this. I asked a lot of people. I got Rourke's advice. She recommended a different one. A bunch of people recommended this one. And I was like, okay. I think Erica could be down for this. And it just seemed very cool.
I mean, I love a bathhouse. So it was, you know, it's an all women's one, by the way. So that I guess helped.
Oh, yeah.
But if anything, I was like, I don't know. I think I'm actually more self-conscious in a bathing suit than just flat naked. Flat naked, I'm like, I look great. You know, bathing suit, you're like, it's pinching here or you got to readjust it. You know what I mean? But if you're just... if it's all out, it's all just out. So
there's nothing to be uncomfortable in if there's nothing on you.
Truly. But I'm not going to lie. It was a little weird for a second being like, I'm just in a jacuzzi naked. Just full naked. But it was an experience for sure. And I also got for the first time, I've never gotten one of those scrubs.
They were amazing.
So I think this place is known for it because they had like 8 different types of scrubs. So I'm like, all right, I'll get a little scrub. And I think it's just going to be like a quick scrub and then more like a massage. Yo, when they say scrub, they are not messing around, dude.
They're scrubbing.
They have, they get not only, you know, obviously the, you know, sugar scrub or whatever. They get the washcloths that have the extra like abrasion.
Oh, yeah.
Or
yeah.
exfoliation. And let me tell you, they do not have mercy with those things. They're like fully going, and I saw marks on my arm, not marks, like little pieces on my arm that I was like, oh, is that like dirt or something? And I was like, no, that's my skin that they've
that's
scrubbed.
Dead skin.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Dead skin. However, I was smooth as a baby after, but they put you on your side. They get all in there. They are not shy. So but anyway, I enjoyed myself. They also washed your hair, which was kind of like intimate but nice.
Oh my God, I love having my hair washed.
Yeah, very nice. But so that was my fun little birthday treat for myself. I'm now a naked bathhouse girl. So it's like if only the nurse could have seen me now.
There you go.
Fully an element. But
patrons know what's nice up. Time.
Yeah.
So tell me about this date, though, because you sent me a selfie from the bathroom of a date that I didn't know about.
Yes. I mean, I mainly was showing you my outfit. great dress.
Well, the outfit was very cute, but I was like, hello, knock, knock. What is this date?
Yes. So I ended up last week downloading Bumble because I was like, you know what? I'm not doing shows. And I was curious. I was, you know, in my relaxation on the couch on my CBD, like, let's see. Let's do a little swipe.
Were you doing the good vibes?
Yeah, I was feeling the good vibes. Yeah. and, you know, I had a handful of matches, was talking to people. And this one guy seemed, I don't know, very nice, chatty. And then all of a sudden he was like, oh, no, actually, it wasn't even at night because I met him that night that we matched. Mm-hmm. He said something of like, I'm getting off work soon. Do you want to go get like some drinks and some sushi? And I said, why not? You know, I'm kind of in vacation
California
energy.
Sushi.
Oh, God, it's the best. There's this hand roll place. If you come out here, you got to go. They give you the rice is warm.
What?
Yeah. Game changer, right?
God, I miss California sushi so bad. I need to come visit immediately.
Well, hilarious. We ended up not being able to find a sushi place for reservations near where I lived. So we ended up going to like a little taco margarita spot. Not complaining.
You like that too.
Yeah. Start of the date was fun. Nice time. But it was something that while we were talking on the app, he played basketball in college and so did I. And so right away he was like, oh, we have so much in common. I'm like, okay. But then on the date.
Just the one thing.
No, it just was like, I'll be honest, after, I don't know, what was it? An hour, half hour? I was sitting there like, ooh, if I have to hear one more basketball story, I think I'm going to lose it. And that's coming from me, who likes basketball.
You like those things.
Yeah, but it just was, it was a lot of, it was a big vibe of, you have not let go of this part of your life yet. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean it negatively because anyone that was a collegiate athlete, it's like, look, it's a big deal, your last game, it's very emotional. Like, but.
So all of his stories were about like past basketball. It wasn't current.
Oh, no, some were current. Where you're a little not okay. I don't really want to hear about like some of your, you know, playing pickup wherever you play shit. Do you know what I mean?
What kind of stories are we talking about here? Was he giving you like play-by-plays of his pickup games?
Kinda. It was just a lot. And the most frustrating thing more is where you go to move the conversation just to anything else, and they somehow bring it back to this one thing they like to talk about. Or sometimes it would be just like braggy, but it would be stuff that, to be honest, I didn't care. Like he told me, all of a sudden he said, oh, I broke a backboard once. And I was like, oh.
Cool.
I didn't even say cool. I specifically was like, I don't really want this story, which sounds so mean, but it's the truth. And then he proceeds to tell me the whole story of it was during warmups. And it was, you know, whatever little league he plays in right now and, you know, smash the glass of a backboard. He's like, oh, and then, you know, the owners of the place tried to like get me to pay for it. And I was like, yeah, that, you know, seems like a lot. Like,
so
I don't,
that's all he had. Like, that's like the only topic of conversation that he had available.
Very much. And then I was like, let me move this to, I guess, dating relationships, because he went to school actually in New York and then but was born and raised here. So he's back here where his family is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I asked like, oh, when was your last relationship? And his last relationship was, he said, like 5 months ago, and it was technically his only girlfriend ever. Mm. And I said, really? That's interesting. And then just through talking of like dating and relationships, two things came up. So one thing came up about body counts. And I was like, huh. And it was about, I don't know, some girl he met, and he was like, it was like crazy high. And I said, really? How high was
it? Why would he even bring that up though?
I don't know. That's the point. I was like, oh, this matters, because I don't care. I would never ask somebody or care. So yeah. And I remember he said 30. I think he said 30. And I said, how old was she? And he goes, like 22, 23. And I go, okay. I was like, how many weekends are in a year? 52. I was like, so what? Like less than 10 weekends a year she had sex and had fun. Like, I was like, I don't think that's
fucking
bad.
What?
Yeah. I literally did the math in front of him of like, well, if she started having sex in college, what? That's 10 weekends a year. Like, that's nothing. And then he was like, well, you know, I mean, I feel like you're judging me a little bit. And I was like, yeah, I am.
Yeah, I am. Fully. Not a little bit. Fully yeah, judging, and I just, you're judging her.
Yeah. And I straight up was like, I mean, I don't know if you know what your body count is. I said, but I don't know what mine is. I said, I don't
know what mine is either.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not counting it because I'm not a fucking nerd with a little notepad being like, oh, what's my number? Oh. Because to be honest, I'm like, I think my number's about that girl's number, but I don't count it. And also, I'm like, I don't have sex that much. So I don't care. It's such a immature thing to care about, in my opinion. I'm like, I have sex when I want to. That's all that matters to me, you know?
Agreed, yeah.
I know. And then within that conversation, something came up about, like, STDs, he said. And I was like, STIs, but yeah.
Asterix.
Right? Like, you said something of like, well, you know, you don't want to be with someone that has, like, a bunch of STIs. And I was like, oh, yeah. I go, have you ever, I said, you've never had a run-in with an STI? Like, most people have. And yeah. He was like, no, I haven't. And then he didn't ask me, but I was like, oh, if you ask me, I'm going to tell you right now, like, yeah, I actually have herpes. Not a big deal.
Right.
So, should but expand your world view a little bit. No, he didn't. He wanted to get back to basketball. He was like, speaking of STIs. He was like,
and did you know that the backboard?
Yeah, I was like,
it's actually a breeding ground.
Yeah. But you know what was interesting? It was one of those dates that, I'm not going to lie, right? Walked in, cute, nice, yeah. Took the lead, like, made the plan, made the move. Like, I was feeling it probably the first half hour. It was then the, like, second hour of the date. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. And I felt just kind of exhausted sitting there listening. Yeah. Because
like,
I was
the first
like,
half an hour was all he had.
Kind of. Or just... It's interesting because I am for short dates. I do like the shorter dates, not a marathon. However,
yeah,
I was like, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half is kind of a nice sweet spot of have I started to feel a trail off? Because I left being like, damn, if that was like 45 minutes an hour, I probably would have left like, okay, I'll do a second one. You know?
Interesting. So yeah, maybe that is a good sweet spot.
Maybe. I don't know. I try. I mean, you know, I don't look at my phone, so I don't know exactly. But then yeah. I was annoyed because the server came back a few times and we never reordered drinks or more food or anything. Uh-huh. And I understand, you know, first time, maybe even second time, because the first time was quick. But the third time, there was no like, should we get the check? And I was sitting there itching to be like, can we ramp this up?
Or you didn't say anything?
I didn't say we should get the check. Because yeah. I'll be honest, that's something I feel a little tricky if you're not paying. Or he also just kept talking. So, so I did, this is usually my move in this situation. I go to the bathroom. I try to find the server on the way to the bathroom and say, like, can you please bring the check?
So did you do that?
Did not find the server, but I went to the bathroom and took my time.
Took the selfie.
Took my time in there. Yeah, took a selfie in the mirror. Sent to Rourke. I was like, look at my outfit, though. Pretty great. She was like, what are you doing? I was like, I am avoiding a date right now, a little bit. and then when I came out of the bathroom, I didn't realize he already paid the check, I guess, while I was in there, because we talked a little bit. Oh. And then I was finally like, oh, should we? He was like, oh, no, the server came back with something. So I was like, oh, okay, he already paid. So I said, thank you. And he waited outside with me for my Uber. He did offer to drive me home, but I was like,
"We don't need
hey,
to spend
I go,
more time
honestly,
together.
Not that. That more than the safety, sadly, in the moment. But I like went into the date being like, Erica, LA is kind of different if everybody has cars. And it's very easy for someone to just nicely offer. But at the same time, you go, oh, now you know where I live.
You don't need to know where I live. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I said to him very nicely, I said, oh, I said, that's very nice for you to offer. I said, I do think you're a very nice guy, but you know, you are a stranger from the internet still. And he
totally
laughed. He's like, that's a fair point. He goes, fair point. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So I did that. I know you have updates, but I do have a peeve. Can I share a peeve now that I'm back?
Yes, please share a peeve.
I think my ultimate biggest peeve is someone just being fully lazy on the plans. Okay, because here's the bright side of me being on the apps in LA, right? I get to play dumb. I get to play the dumb damsel in distress. Ooh, I just moved
around.
Here. Help me. Ooh, where should, what's a good taco spot? Ooh, where should we go? Right? So I met, I don't know, some other guy I was talking to today. I said something of, this has actually been a new opener I've had, been using. And it's because I've been at home at night, chilling, looking for a movie to watch. Men love movies. They love giving movie recommendations. So when they have nothing on their profile, I'll just message them and say, hey, I'm in need of a movie recommendation, dot, dot, dot. And also gives the opportunity to be gross that half the men have been like, oh, it won't matter because we won't be watching it anyway.
Ew, right. Come on.
Dumb, gross.
I didn't even say we were watching it together.
Exactly. Or something along those lines, right? But then the nice guys, immediately they go, all right, well, what kind of movies do you like? I'm like, there we go. Here we are. Conversation happening.
Right? Yeah, I think maybe I would use TV because I don't like movies, so I don't even want to talk about them.
I mean, either or, you know? It's kind of a...
But TV
it's
would like be a good one also, for me.
Right, or you can also ask somebody, like, what have you been binging lately?
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, so...
Then I had to tell guy, them about Chicago Fire.
Yeah, you can. But I am, I'm like you, too. I'm a TV person, so... Anyway. But this guy today, it was, like, back and forth. And it finally, it came up of, you know, let's do something. And he said, well, what do you have in mind? And I said...
No.
See, I'm a little more forgiving. Where he goes, he said, what do you have in mind? Because I
would actually say that.
So then I said, oh, well, I'm new to the area, so I'd be down to go get some tacos or something. And he said, oh, tacos where?
No.
And
no.
I said,
I don't know where.
I don't know where. This is after we were talking a while to like plan something. And I jokingly, but not jokingly, said, do I have to do all the work here? Ha ha. I said, I just moved.
So funny.
Yeah. And then I just said, I just moved here. So what are the taco spots you like? And he goes, I mean, equal rights. And then he says,
fuck
what
off.
Kind of, no, but this got me even more mad. He says, what kind of tacos do you like? I'm like, tacos, bitch. What? It's LA. All the California
like
people. Yeah. But all the California people have always been like, ugh, the Mexican food in New York is trash compared to California. It sucks compared to LA. So I'm like, I'm in LA. Show me the tacos. Take me to the tacos. I don't care if it's a taco stand outside or a cute little place inside. I don't care. But it's like, why would I know? Especially after I just said, why am I doing all the work here? And you're going to hit me with freaking, well, what kind of tacos? Tacos, bitch. I don't know what to tell you. Tacos.
I don't know what to tell you on that. Also, okay, equal rights, like equal effort, sure. What effort is he giving in the conversation?
None.
I haven't heard anything thus far.
It's not work. If anything, this is the most anti-equal rights because I'm doing more work and getting paid less.
Exactly.
So fuck this. Fuck this. But I'm like, ooh, new peeve. New, I think that's my major peeve is when you are even being a little bit like, all right, here's a little idea. You wanna contribute anything to the brainstorming session? No?
Nope.
All right, dude. Like, not hard. Not that hard. Anyway.
It's really frustrating.
Yeah, you know, I'm back. Back in the abs.
Back. We're back, tree. Baby.
We're back, baby. We're back and we're frustrated a bit. But but it's kind of nice of, to be honest, other than that, I've just been very vacation energy with it. I'm like,
I like that a lot.
Let's meet up. Let's not. Because I'm trying to just have fun with it. Dating should be fun. And so I'm trying to not stress it too much. But
I like it.
I'm like back, it. Trying it out. So that's all my updates for the week. I know you got a couple to share.
I have a couple. Quick update first about Wolverine. That, for those who don't remember from last week, that's the guy that I met in real life at the volleyball tournament.
Yes, who I was trying to push you to, you know, slide on.
Yeah, this man's not interested in me.
No? What makes you say that?
No. It's funny that you say that because I received a text message from a friend of mine who listens to the pod. After she listened to last week's, and she was like, I like Erica's idea. You should text him that. And
okay.
I was like, it's a little late. I already did something else, and he's definitely not interested.
Wait, what did you do? What was the other thing?
So I got his number from my friend, the other person, right?
Yeah.
And I texted him and I said, like, hey, it's Allie. Like, you know, got your number from so and so as promised. We're not setting up because I think I told you last week that I had said that I would let him know when we were going to like set up nets or whatever.
Right. Yes.
And so I was like, I don't think we're setting up this week, but like, I'll definitely let you know. Did you end up playing yesterday? Mm-hmm. And he took 2 days to reply to me.
Oh, come on.
And when he did reply, he was initially quite enthusiastic. And he was like, Allie, hey, like, da-da-da, yeah. He told me that he had, like, he did play the day that I asked about, but he, like, tweaked his knee. And he was like, yeah. So he's like, I think I'm going to be, like, resting it for a bit, but definitely let me know if you're playing, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
So I wrote back and I said, like, oh, no, I'm so sorry to hear that. And then I said, it's especially a bummer because I was going to see if you wanted to play with me in a doubles tournament in a couple weeks.
Oh, still not a bold date move, though.
He didn't reply.
Huh. I don't know. I don't know if he'd take that as a flirty thing.
I didn't need him to take it as a flirty thing. If he were interested in me, he would have continued to talk to me.
Well, yeah, that part. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah, I do agree. Yeah. Oh, that's shitty.
Like, yeah.
So well, like, I just whatever. Meant like you, not... I wouldn't be embarrassed because you. It's I don't think that was putting yourself out there that hard.
No, that's no, definitely not. Definitely not. Definitely not embarrassed. But like, I just know that he's not interested because if he were interested, he would be continuing to speak to me.
Right. So just have not heard since
nothing.
That message.
Nothing.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. I'd be tempted to follow up and be like, .. Am I really that bad? Or like .. My record is
like I've oh, broken I beat, a net I actually excuse me I beat you in the semifinals last weekend, so who are you? Yeah.
Oh sorry you don't want to be on the winning team.
No, oh, but like,
oh, that sucks.
So it's fine, whatever, but like, it's just more like, okay, you're right, it wasn't a bold date move, but if this man was interested, we would be speaking.
Yeah, I would assume so. Something.
Yeah.
Or he'd be not. Like, oh, I'd want to see you sooner. Eh.
Right.
Well.
He would have said something. Well,
yeah.
Anything.
I mean, at least put it out there. You put it out there. Yeah, I support it.
I did. Thank you.
So, look at that. It still was a great idea by me and your other friend.
I agree that it was a great idea. I went in a slightly different direction and got my answer. So, well, so that's the bow tie on Wolverine. I am going to see him again. He's going to be around at tournaments and stuff that I go to. So, I don't know. We'll see.
What do you mean, we'll see? Just beat him.
Well,
it's like, just win, keep winning.
Yeah, already did. Been there, done that, man.
Yeah. So.
So anyway, so that's that. I did go out with Mr. Chaotic last week.
Yes. How you feeling?
I did. I had a really good time with him. That said, I am not going to see him until we get back from Greece.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know this. But he splits his time between here and another city for work. And I didn't know this, but he is now in that other city until I leave.
Mm, okay. But he's talking to you, so he wants a second date.
I would assume so. I mean, we went to a beer garden in Dumbo. He planned it. We both really like bar games. And board games and whatnot. And so there's this place called Randolph Beer in Dumbo that has like fun bar games. And he suggested we go there. He lives in the city. He knows I live in Brooklyn. So it was kind of like a middle ground, which was nice. And we went there. We had a great time. We said at the end of the date or like throughout the date that we would want to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't like nail down an exact plan on the date, which is fine. He texted me that night. We texted a little bit the next day. And then he just kind of like dropped into conversation that he was no longer in New York.
Oh, like literally date and bounced.
Yeah, I think a couple days later. Like he's gone now. He's not here anymore. And he won't get back. So he mentioned something about how he'd be back in New York, whatever it is, like Memorial Day weekend. And I was like, oh, that's when I leave for 2 weeks.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. I'm only home for like... literally 18 hours in between my two trips. So
I forgot because you have nationals. I have nationals.
Yeah, you have I'm going to Dallas for volleyball, right? And then I get back on Wednesday night late, and then we leave for Greece on Thursday afternoon.
All right. Well, I guess I wouldn't count it as a strike in any way. It just sucks.
No, it's just like, even if I had known, it still would have happened. Like it was too soon after the date. Like I wouldn't have seen him again regardless.
Right.
I definitely would go out with him again. I had a great time. He's very high energy, like very just personable. Like, he had been to the bar one time before and, like, knew one of the servers. He befriended the bartender. Like, he got there a little bit early, and so he'd already gotten there and ordered us both drinks. He actually sent me a picture of the menu while I was on my way because he'd gotten there already.
Oh, nice. Nice move.
And he was like, what do you want to drink? Yeah, it was nice. And by the time I got in there, he, like, was on a first name basis with the bartender. Like, he's like that guy that, like, befriends people everywhere he goes. It's a very nice quality.
Mm-hmm. Very charismatic, yeah.
Very charismatic. One, like, it's not a red flag. Red's the wrong, maybe yellow. Not yellow. I don't even think any of those phrases are right. One, like, thing that raises my antenna.
Mm-hmm.
He is in the entertainment industry, loosely.
Okay.
He goes out a lot.
Hmm.
Like, his job is to go out, practically.
Okay. And is the antenna, you just don't want to go out that much?
It's just a different lifestyle.
Hmm. Okay. Fair. I see what you're saying.
So it's not like, it's not a deal breaker.
It's a lifestyle.
No. Definitely not. Definitely not. It's not anything that I'm like, oh, this is definitely not going to work. It's just something that I'm like, interesting. I wonder how that would play out.
Mm-hmm. See, funny. I am someone that's out most nights because of comedy.
He's out like drinking though, like hard drinking. Like,
well, I was going to say there's different levels of being out.
Yeah.
Or more so for me, and I don't say red flag, just it's compatibility of on the weekends, just weekends alone, someone that wants to be out really late at the bars drinking,
yeah,
is not the typical thing I want to be doing.
Right. Like, I,
not that I look at those people and go, whoa, red flag people, of course, you know.
No, of course not. It's just maybe a compatibility thing. Like you said, like, I like to go out.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what day of the week this was. It was a weeknight. I had a couple beers. I was ready to go home. He was not. Not in like a way that was like he wasn't judging me or questioning me for wanting to go home.
No. Just he could have stayed out longer.
He absolutely could have stayed out for hours more. And I was like, I am tired.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. I would agree. I'd feel the same way.
Yeah. So it's not anything that's like, I don't have to worry about that right now.
No, you don't.
But it's something that I'm just like, oh, okay, interesting.
Right.
And a lot of the stories he told also, like, the one of the reasons I know that he does that a lot is because of the stories that he told about his work specifically. And like the way that deals go down, the way that he networks, the way that he meets people, like all of that stuff.
Yeah. And no shade to Cassidy, but Cassidy's a going out girl. So it makes sense that she knows him and he runs in her circles as well.
She's
so
also in the entertainment industry.
Right. But it all makes sense to me. Their friendship, like birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah. So I think, you know, like I said, not anything to be worried about at the moment, but just like a mental note kind of a thing.
Okay. All right. But he's still in the running. So.
Yeah. We've been talking.
Yeah.
So meanwhile. Meanwhile, the publicist and I went on our fourth date this past week.
Ow.
Yeah. He cooked me dinner.
I love that. I love a dinner date.
He's a very good cook. We had a delicious dinner that I then had for leftovers. I posted to my story and got many DMs because I posted about somebody making me leftovers. And I brought his leftovers to my volleyball tournament. So good. He made steak. It was delicious. We had a really good time. It was really nice.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's just very comfortable, which is really nice, and not in like a boring way, just in like I feel really comfortable around him. And like we check in a lot. We text every day. Like we're just very in communication with each other, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, it feels secure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the thing that I think one of the things I actually like the most about him is how much secure energy he gives off, that like he's very upfront about liking me and very complimentary, not in an overly effusive way, just in like a very straightforward, like when he likes something, he says it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just really nice that no games. Yeah. Like a really nice, like, I like this and I'm going to say it. and not just about me, about things in general, which I appreciate. I appreciate somebody who has like an appreciation for things. And so I like that. And I just, yeah, I just feel really at ease, I think is probably the right phrase.
Yeah. Do you have a, I don't know if you have another date on the books yet. Do you?
We do. We do. So he, so this was last week. He made me dinner. And we've been talking since then. He went home for, so this was last week. Then it was Mother's Day weekend and he went home. So he was gone for like 3 days, something like that. And I have had a really crazy week with work. I was in the, I'm going in the office almost every day. And doing work stuff at night, pretty much every night. So he asked what I was doing on Friday, this upcoming Friday, and I said nothing. Well, no plans yet, whatever. He asked if I wanted to go to happy hour with his friends.
Oh, okay. So a trade-off of meeting the friends on his end.
A trade-off of meeting the friends.
Okay. How you feel? Are you nervous at all?
So being totally honest, I'm going, and I'm excited to go as a – just a spoiler alert to the end of the how this ends up. But when I first got the text, this is so hypocritical of me to think this, and I'm aware of this. I immediately was like, oh, that's kind of fast.
Funny, because you had him, you invited him to your friend's thing. Okay. Do you, and I don't mean this to be a rude question, but is this one of the only times you've had a guy be like, come meet all my friends?
No. Well, I don't know how many people I'm meeting. I don't think it's the, I think it's like a couple of his good
friends. Just the thought of, I'm going to be here with friends and I want you to come and meet them. Because to be honest, for myself, that's been a very long time since I've had a guy bring me into his life that way.
I met the Disco Balls friends, like a few of them.
Okay. All right. It's normal to feel a little nervous because... obviously, you're like, okay, the friends are meeting me. I want them to have a high opinion of me and, you know.
I also was like, am I ready for this?
Interesting. So you almost feel like it's more serious him inviting you to the friends than you.
Than me inviting him to mine, which is dumb. I don't know what, like, that's like.
Yeah.
I almost am like, because I know that him meeting my friends is not a big deal. I don't
funny,
know.
But to him, it could have been. You don't know.
I don't know. Right. Like, I don't know if that's true in reverse.
Funny. For me, I actually feel like this is more for meeting the family because my family's very close. So if I'm dating you for a month or two, they know. They know you exist. Right. So for you to come meet them is not, it's not this, oh, we're meeting this guy. That means we're getting married. However, I think a lot of other people and their families more see it that way, that they look at you like, no, I wouldn't bring a girl home till a year or whatever it is, right? So funny that, yeah, both ways, friends and family, I don't see it as a huge thing because I sit there like, I'm not bringing you blind. I've already talked to them about you. They know you exist. Interesting.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because the shoe's on the other foot, honestly.
It fully is. And I'm like, oh, because I like him, obviously. I'm enjoying getting to know him. But I am still getting to know him and he, me.
Yes.
And him, me. Whatever, grammar.
Well, I was going to say, Matchmaker Maria, big fan of meeting the friends early. And the big thing she says is, you know, that is getting to know them more.
True. Yeah. Yeah. And I that's how I feel about it. But like, yeah, I can't lie. Like, I got that text and was like, oh.
I get it. I would feel a little, not even on the serious front, but just a little bit of that anxiety energy.
Yeah, like because I want to reiterate, I like him. I want to continue to get to know him. I am not ready to only be dating him. Like I've only known the dude for 3 weeks.
So less you almost feel weeks. Like this is leading to a we're only seeing each other level.
Some people could see it that way. Like some people could see inviting somebody to meet their friends as like a step towards that. And and it is, I guess it like even him meeting my friends is a step towards that. But for me, it's not like an immediate step towards that.
Right.
And so like our first date was on April like 30th. Like it's been like.
Yeah. It's only been a couple weeks.
I've known him for 2.5 weeks.
Right. But it's progressing as it should. So
100%. 100%. But like, as I'm thinking about, you know, where I'm at with what I want right now, I'm not there yet. And I don't know that he is either. Like, I don't want to make any assumptions. But like, when I first got that text, that was my first thought, was like, oh no.
No, because I think, and I don't mean this to sound negative, but it's the only way I could think of a comparison in my head. But it's just, I just see it as you're not sold yet.
No.
Which is totally fine.
You're right. You're right.
Because, you know, a lot of times with love and relationships, there is no logic. And so you're sitting there like, okay, it's X amount of dates and I'm meeting the friends and that should mean one thing. But then the other side of the logic is it's only been, you know, 3 weeks.
Yeah. And you're right. I'm not sold yet. And like, I don't think I need to be or should be at this point.
No, you don't.
Because I'm still getting to know him. And I want to continue to reiterate that I do really like him. Like, this is not negative in any way. But I think, yeah. So, but I, like I said, I said yes. I am excited to meet his friends. I'm also meeting their kid.
Oh, the friend's kid.
The friend's kid. Yeah.
No. I was like, what was? I was like, that was a bomb out of nowhere. What?
No. His friends. He calls her his New York niece.
That's very cute.
Yeah. So it's his like two good friends. They're married, and they have a.
Oh,
child.
Okay. Oh, yeah. If anything, then I see it more as like a double date vibe.
Yeah.
Which I would almost say no pressure of. He was like, oh, I was going to see my friends. Why don't you come? And I'm sure you'll end up, you know, going to get food like you did after you met your friends or something. So,
yeah.
It's fun. It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's not anxiety. It's excitement energy.
It's exciting. I am excited about it. Yeah. It was just that initial when I first got the text and I was like, oh dear. Like, am I ready for this kind of a thing?
I mean, fair to say, but I think it's great to go meet some of their friends. So I encourage
think it's it. A really good window into who somebody is.
I think it actually has a very good chance to make you more into him, to be honest.
Unless his friends are really weird.
Yeah, or the opposite, which is why it's important to meet the friends. But in a positive light, I think seeing him with the friends, seeing him with the niece, like,
yeah,
you know, it's like seeing them more in their element. Where
very true.
They'll be taking the lead a bit, and that could be hot. That could be very attractive. So
hell yeah. So I did tipsy text him tonight.
Oh, okay. What, for some words of affirmation or what?
Yeah. Well, I just said that. I said, I don't know why, but drinking red wine always makes me want to make out.
Oh, okay. Some little sexting going on. All right.
Is that?
We
got
to wrap this up then. It's going to lead to it, maybe. If you take some lines from my book.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to listen to the Patreon to hear about that.
No, I don't get to hear the answer. All right.
Oh, well, he said that it sounds like our next date should be at a wine bar.
Oh, okay. Cute. I like it. Look at you getting loose.
Getting loose.
Getting loose on the pod.
So, that's what I have going on.
Some good news, bad news of our guests this week. All right. Bad news is, I unfortunately was unable to be on the episode due to too many technical difficulties. So I literally think I have one or two questions in the beginning.
You're in there. Yeah, you're in the intro.
And then I'm gone because it's just, I had to take one for the team of, I kept getting kicked out of the room. I just moved. We got to upgrade the internet. It's a whole thing. So unfortunately, I was not there for the full interview, but literally only being there 10 minutes with these people. Great guest. I'm very excited to hear the episode, to be honest.
I can't wait to hear the conversation.
So that's the good news, is they're incredible guests.
As somebody who was there, I can tell you that it was amazing. So I talked to Alex and Nikki from the Swipe Fat podcast. We have gotten so many suggestions sent to us to have them on the pod to talk about dating while plus sized. And then I happened to meet virtually Alex in like this random Zoom call. And messaged her on the side and was like, oh my God, I've been meaning to message you. Will you come on the pod? And we had so much fun talking.
I'm sure you did. They really are fun.
They're hilarious. Like, I have friends in Chicago, and therefore I'm going to go there soon. And I'm like 100% texting them, I want to hang out. They're so fucking cool.
I would DM them of, I need a redo and I will join the Chicago trip.
Yeah, you're right. You're like, please let me come hang out with you.
I know. I've never been.
Oh, wait, you've never been to Chicago?
No, it's on my list of places to visit. So I would love to go meet these people, do some shows, have some fun. So,
well, we'll go hang out with Alex and Nikki.
People are going to
It was incredible. I'm super excited for everyone to hear it. We talked all about their experiences with plus size dating, questions from the listeners. They give so much practical advice and are also just absolutely hilarious. I can't wait for everyone to hear it.
Yeah. So without further ado, let's get to our guests.
Let's talk to them.
So I've been talking a bunch about how I'm trying to order in less. And part of that is that I'm cooking at home more. But when I don't have time to cook, which is more often than not, I have really still been loving Factor's meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Yeah, and they have so many options too. Every week, their menu, they have 35 options that you can pick from. So you can find whatever it is that you're looking for. It's so easy. It's no fuss and no mess.
It's so great. And I've also been really enjoying their add-ons that they have. So they have breakfast. They have on-the-go lunches if you don't work from home. I've been ordering their snacks recently to have like a little pick-me-up in the afternoon. And I've really been enjoying that.
Yeah. And they also are celebrating Earth Day all month. You can look for their Earth Month Eats badge on their menu. And that will be meals that have the lowest carbon footprint. So shout out to Factor for that one.
It's pretty cool. So you can head to factormeals.com/FMH50 and use code FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code FMH50 at factormeals.com/FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
We are back with Alex and Nikki from Swipe Fat. Hi, ladies. Thank you for being on Finding Mr. Right, the podcast.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
We are so pumped to have you. We've gotten so, so many suggestions and, you know, people shouting out your pod, and people are pumped for this episode, and so are we.
Oh, good.
I know. That's always nice makes to hear. You feel good, right?
Thanks, yeah, guys. when we posted the question box, there were multiple submissions that said, no questions, just love them.
Probably because we talk too much already.
Yeah, they're like, we already know. So, you know, I know a lot of the listeners listen to your pod. They're super excited. But for those who haven't, tell us a little bit about you and, you know, how you guys came to be here.
Go for it, Alex. I'm going to let you take it.
Okay. I can do that. So Swipe Fat was born from Nikki and I having a friend date. We got set up by mutual friends. We like followed each other on Instagram, but we never met in person, but we had like mutual friends. So we went on a friend date, and I think like the most of the time we were talking about dating. And a lot of the themes came up were that we were both plus size, both, you know, fat. We say fat. We're obviously very chill with the word, but everyone has their different how they want to describe themselves. And we saw that there was like a lot of similarities and things that our straight size friends didn't maybe think about. And we were like, oh my God, you have to think about that too. Like, oh my God, like I do that as well. And so we were just like, it was nice to have another plus size friend, basically. Mm-hmm. And I told Nikki at that friend date that I really wanted to start a podcast. And she was like, oh, what's it going to be about? And I was like, oh, I have no idea. And she's like, well, maybe don't start a podcast then.
Sound advice.
Nikki,
that sounds so bad.
It doesn't. Yes. Nikki worked in radio. So she was like, when you have an idea, let me know, because I would be down to help you like figure out what that looks like. And I was like, okay. However, she came up with the idea like maybe a month or two later.
No, it was like 6 or 7 months. We were well into the panty. Because so we started, that's we had true. Our we friend date of like panty. January, February, shutdown happens. And then we got closer on social because obviously we couldn't see each other.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I don't know, it was like July or August, and we like I had the idea and we started like vetting it and deciding what to do, and we launched in October right after Biden won. I remember because we were like we dumbly planned to release our first episode that week, and we were like wait what are we doing?
Right. Maybe not. Well, yeah. You read the room, so
yeah, we're like there's more important things going on than our dating life.
right exactly. Yeah, but we started making TikToks like kind of right away, and I think people just started to see similarities in their lives with the things that we were talking about, which was nice because we weren't sure. We saw it between the two of us, but we weren't sure it would resonate with other plus size people, and it did. So
yeah,
here we are really 2 years later. Yeah, crazy.
I love that you are internet friends because Erica and I are too.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. One friend date, I don't think she thought like we'd be partners at this point. Like I talked to her every single day. Every day we talk.
I mean, that's very similar to Erica and me because we like met because of podcasting, and then we were DMing one night, and both of us at the time lived in New York City. Someone moved to LA. But
that's
right? That's what I'm saying. But then one day we were just like, hey, are you free tonight? We should just stop DMing and go to drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Who knew? Adult friendships.
We love it. So, Alex, you mentioned when you were talking about meeting people for dates, you mentioned the look.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us more about what that is?
Yeah, I have experienced it. So I was set up on a blind date by a friend, and she didn't tell them I was plus size, which I feel like is important to tell someone if it's a blind date. But when I walked up, I could see the look of disappointment, sort of like, oh, that's not what I was expecting. And for me, because I know I'm plus size, I just always assume it's because of my weight. And I think a lot of people have experienced that look of disappointment where it's like, okay, you're bigger than I thought you were going to be. And I don't know how to get out of this. So now we have to sit here and do this whole rigmarole of a date, right? Because they feel bad about leaving. So yeah, that's the look. It's super fun. probably most of us have like seen something like that, and it might not even be related to your weight, but I know that one was he did confirm it later. So
confirmed it later.
Yeah,
bad enough that you made me feel that way and now we have to talk about it.
Well, he told his friend that it was because I was plus size, so
and that friend thought it was then a great idea to tell you.
Yeah, she was like, it's such a shame. Like, I just don't see how he can't see beyond that. And I was like, oh my God, okay. Well, here we are.
This is a conversation we never needed to have,
though. I know. Okay. Crazy. But I was like, this is kind of your fault. You could have just told him, showed him a picture of me before he met me. You know what I mean? And then I feel like if you've seen a photo of me, going back to the first question of, you know, being on a dating app and you've seen it all. If I get a look after that, I'm embarrassed for you. Like, you're the one who is silly and like doesn't understand how to like know what someone looks like in a photo. That's your fault. I don't feel silly if I get a look from a dating app.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I feel that way when somebody has clearly not read my profile. I'm like, well, yeah. Your reading comprehension skills are not my problem.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how do you then, like, what tips do you have for dealing with that sort of anxiety about going on a first date and potentially encountering something like that?
I mean, the real tip is just to start doing it, because the more you do it, the more comfortable you're going to be going on that first date. And it's really just like the first 30 seconds that are nerve-wracking, the walking up to the bar. I remember I used to always like arrive early so I could already be seated, because for some reason in my head that made it better. It doesn't. Like, why am I so worried about that? Like, why did I overthink it so much? But yeah, it's really just like going on multiple dates, and then all of a sudden you're comfortable and you realize like if they like you, they like you, and if they don't, they don't. Do you like them? Like, they're, you know, as plus size women, we think a lot, yeah. Do they like us? But for a long time, or myself, I never thought, well, do I like them? Like, if they'd reject me, I'd be like, like, did I even care? Did right. I? But for a long time I did, even though I didn't yeah. like him.
You're like, I didn't want to go out with him anyway, but now that he doesn't want to go out with me.
It's rude.
Right. Right. I wasn't really that interested, but
now
I am. Right.
Now I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's that we need to, every woman, I think, has this maybe issue of like, we got to go in and like start being like, do I like them? Because this is an interview for them too. Right. Mm-hmm. And not like a real interview. Like, we shouldn't be peppering questions, but it is like, we're trying to both figure out if we like each other. And if you're going in trying to make them like you, that's not authentic. That's not how you meet someone. And that's not how you get a boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, like, that's just not how it works.
Yeah. Or you get that person in quotes, but they yeah. don't actually know who you are. And right. now, you know, they like you for the thing that you were showing them and mm-hmm. not who you actually are, which eventually you're going to have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've been in a relationship where a few months in, he was like, oh, you're really funny. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm really funny. You haven't known this like this whole time. And then I realized like, oh, maybe I didn't show this part because I was like insecure. And like, you know, once you start really reevaluating your dating life after starting a dating podcast and talking to experts, you're like, oh, so the reason I'm single isn't because I'm fat. It's because I have a lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me. I'm like, the more I've thought, I've had to reflect on my own dating life. I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah, and I was doing that and that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know. I both love having dating coaches and therapists on and hate it at the same time because yeah. you have to go through like a mini therapy session and you're like, God damn it. I did not realize that is what I was doing. I was sabotaging myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We actually got a couple questions about that of people being like, how do I stop getting in my own way? Like that I will even go on dates or be in early dating or in relationships with people that have never mentioned my size, have never made me feel insecure about it, but I'm constantly wondering how they're feeling about it. Have you guys experienced that?
Yeah, I feel like it wasn't until the podcast that I even started asking guys that I was seeing if they had dated plus size people before. Like, it never crossed my mind before we started the podcast because I was like, oh, if this person likes me, they like me. I'm sure I was definitely insecure at points of like worried about people looking at us in public and thinking, oh, he's too good looking for her, different things like that. But it wasn't until the podcast started and I actually started asking the guys I was seeing if they dated plus size women before, and they all had. So they clearly had a preference. And that, it made me feel better about, like, it made me feel better just knowing.
That's actually interesting. It's not the same, but it reminds me of the way that I ask men if they've ever dated a woman of color before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious your thoughts on, I find myself feeling a certain kind of way if they say no, never, but also if they're like, oh, always.
Yeah.
Like how do you, and it's, we actually got this question line a couple times too. Yeah, like where's the line between preference and like fetishization?
I know it's a hard word to say.
You know the word I'm trying to yeah. say. Between preference and somebody making it a fetish.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think for me there are like little warning signs, at least on dating apps, when you're talking to someone before you meet them. Like it might, the conversation might be normal and then all of a sudden it gets really sexual and they're talking about certain body parts and stuff. We haven't even met yet and you're already talking about how you like my big stomach or something like that. We haven't met yet. And I think that's sort of where I draw the line. If we haven't met yet and you are already talking about my body like that, that to me is weird and feels fetishy.
That would be a red flag to me no matter what.
No, agreed. I mean, I think, yes, red flag no matter what. But I think that's for when it comes to body stuff and you're fat or plus size, that's where I think you start to be like, okay, so you don't really like me for me because we're just focused on my stomach or my boobs, you know.
Yeah, when it's fully body-based, that's the issue. Like, somebody can be attracted to plus size people and have that preference, but when they only like you for your body, who wants to date somebody who only likes you for the way you look? Like, the way you look. Nobody wants that. You're more than your body.
Very true. And is there a lot of the questions that we got to centered around red flags on somebody's profile? Like, are there things that you kind of look for that you see that you're like, ooh, this could be territory that I don't really think I should match with this person in that sense?
I know a lot of people, when they say looking for somebody active, I think I immediately like, well, that means that they're like not looking for a skinny person. Like, immediately that's where my head goes. But also, there's so many active plus size people who are into hiking and adventure. And like, and so why should, if they swiped on you and they said they liked active, like, you're active. It shouldn't be a problem. For me, it's when a guy or a woman has that, like, they're trying to lose weight on their profile. Like, it's the first, you have three prompts in a bio. Why are you making that like the first thing? It just shows you're insecure and then you don't like yourself. And so probably you're not going to like me. And then you're going to want to change me. And I'm not looking to be changed.
Yeah, nothing I need to add there.
That's great. That's perfect. Yeah, a lot of people also did ask about the active thing. And I see that on profiles all the time and often think like, what are we really saying here? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it feels coded. Mm-hmm. And the code is thin and not really active. Like, for me, it feels like they're... Like, even if you said you like someone active, if you met someone who wasn't active and also small or thin, you wouldn't care. Mm-hmm. You would probably be into them no matter what, because that to you is like not really what you're trying to say at all. I don't know. I know a few guys who had put that in their profiles, and then like they're friends of mine. I think they actually did mean active. Like, they both are bike, like they bike a lot and hike a lot. So they were looking for that. But then like both of the girls that they married are not, they don't like any of those things. So I was like, okay, so you're looking, that's not really what you're trying to say.
Right. Because you have friends you can do that with. Like, right. It clearly wasn't important to you necessarily to do that with a partner, or you would be.
I mean, we see these things on TikTok all the time, too, where it's like people asking people in their colleges and stuff if they would date someone who's plus size. And they're like, usually the answer is no. And it's because I want someone who's active. So the reasoning is usually like, well, I want someone who goes to the gym with me. I want someone who can do stuff with me, who wants to, you know, like, my lifestyle is very active. I'm really into fitness and all that stuff. Plus size people can also be really into fitness. I follow a bunch of them on Instagram. And like Meg Boggs is a great example. She weightlifts like every day. And like, you can be both. And have interest in those things. So like, when I hear that excuse, it just like boils my blood. It's like, well, they just say that you don't like a fat body. That's okay. I feel like they just think they're going to get like canceled or something. And it's like, you can say that you have a thin preference. Just don't blame it on a lifestyle, because we can also have that same lifestyle.
Yeah, we do storytime episodes with listeners, and, you know, that have different perspectives. And we did one recently with somebody who is a plus size fitness instructor. Mm-hmm. And she was saying the same thing. And she always gets questions when she says, I'm a fitness instructor, and people look at her quizzically. She's like, yeah, I work out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not, you know, those two things are not equated.
Society just says that if you're plus size, that you're lazy, you're a tub of lard, all you do is sit on your couch and watch TV and eat takeout. Like, that's what society says, so that's what they automatically assumed. Like, but if a guy or somebody we were dating like kept up with our lifestyles, they would be exhausted. So like, we have more energy than the Energizer Bunny, and we're fat. So I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely feels coded, like you said, Alex. And I think that people don't actually mean that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, some people might actually mean that, but I would rather that they not say, I prefer someone with an active lifestyle, and they just list the kind of activities they like to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You don't have to say, like, I want someone who's into an active lifestyle or a fitness lifestyle. If that's really not what you mean, if you like, you could just say your interests, because I think a lot of people aren't looking for someone that likes all the same things as them. But yeah, Nikki's right. I mean, like, we have very busy lives. I've even had guys say, like, I can't keep up with you. So it's right. Sort of like, I don't know. It's a lame excuse.
Yeah, I also say that a lot in profiles in general, that I think it makes way more sense to talk about you and what you like to do versus all the things that you want in a partner. Because like people who say, like, oh, I'm looking for somebody who's funny and kind. Is anybody really reading a dating app profile and thinking, well, shit, I am neither funny nor kind, so I probably can't date this person.
Right.
But also, is it everybody looking for somebody who's funny and kind?
Yeah, totally. Like, totally. Yeah. Oh, right. I'm looking for a boring, mean person, actually. So if you're that guy, come my way.
Right. No, that's so true. Yeah. I mean, I want to see what you're interested in and do those interests line up. We'll get to know each other via the DMs and, you know, all of that stuff. That's when I get to know the banter and like what you're looking for. You're right. The profile should be more about like what you do and what you find fun, because that's the way you start a conversation.
Yeah.
I'm not going to start a conversation with a guy and be like, oh, you're looking for someone funny and kind. Guess what? That's me. Like,
surprise.
Surprise. I'm sure you haven't met anyone else who's funny or kind. That's crazy.
So it sounds like both of you are very much in this like super confident place where you're like, listen, like, this is who I am. And, you know, if you don't like that, that's fine. But that's not a me problem. What was the journey like to that? A lot of people, you know, are like, how do I build that confidence and how do I get to that place?
You know, when you said that, I was going to be like, that took a really long time.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think building that takes time and effort, obviously therapy. But I think for me, the start of my journey for it was following people online who looked like me. And at the beginning, that was more of a selfish thing because I was just trying to find clothes, you know, that like looked good on someone who looked like me. And then I started following people who were more about body positivity and body neutrality, or fat liberation. And that was super educational for me and started making me love myself a lot more, because I was like, wow, look at all these other women who love themselves. And they're bigger than me, or they're my size. Like, that's like really nice, like that they talk to themselves so nicely. Like, I should be doing that too. And that's sort of where it started from. I think I've always had like confidence that I've had an amazing personality, but for me, a lot of the stuff that like comes out insecurity wise is body related, and that really has affected me in my dating life. From watching or doing the podcast together, I've realized that, like, it took a long time for me to like realize that I had like internalized fat phobia even about my own body. So I think it's just like, first and foremost, finding people that are talking about it the way that you want to learn to talk about it to yourself and find confidence that way. And then I think Nikki made a good point of like, when it comes to dating, just doing it and practicing, because I think a lot of plus size women don't even want to try because they're just really nervous. And that's fair. I've been there. Like, Nikki's been there. Like, we've mm-hmm. all been there, right? But I think it's just doing helps a lot. Practice makes perfect. And I know it seems weird to say like you have to practice dating, but you do.
Totally agree.
Yeah. Faking it till you make it is really like, it's so dumb and cliche, but it really helps. Like, finding clothes that fit you really well or that are your personal style, because if you're plus size and you grew up plus size, you wore the worst clothes ever growing up. And now you can actually like, because there weren't any options. So now you can start, you know, have expressing your personal style because we have that ability. I think that was huge for me. Following people on social media was huge because I was like, oh, they're so beautiful. I'm like, well, why can I think they're beautiful, but I don't think I'm beautiful? Like, it started this whole thing. And Alex and I are super confident now, but I think people who assume anybody on the internet that's posting is always confident, they don't have bad days. I have bad days all the time. I mean, I currently am going through a bad period just because like I had some bad stuff on social media and it's really hurt my confidence. But like you there's ebbs and flows. If you like who you are internally, like you really, yeah, if you like who you are on the inside, it'll start coming on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Be kind to yourself.
Yeah. I think that's really powerful to think about too, is that everybody has bad days and bad moments. And I think trying to never feel sad is a really good way to feel more sad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think like dating for me can trigger insecurities too. So like that for me is like my biggest trigger to like feel bad about myself is dating. Cause I think I just have this need to be chosen from being like, I didn't grow up plus size, but I grew up bigger than a lot of the girls around me. And I just think that, you know, I wasn't getting chosen. So now I would go into dating doing that a lot. Like where we talked about this a little bit earlier, where it's like I would go in and like be like, okay, love me, like me. Like, how do I convince you to like me? Whereas now I try to go into it more like, okay, is there similarities here? Like, do I even like you? Do you like, instead of like begging them to like me? Right. And when I wouldn't get chosen before, it would just like devastate me. Even if I didn't like them, because it felt like it was like they weren't accepting me for my body. And that was like the whole reason. So I think it's like doing some inner work of like realizing that not everyone is for everybody, and to come to dating from a place of like, this has to work for me too. And that helps build your confidence when you date, and then you have less triggers when you do about like spiraling about your body.
Right. And so if you do have those insecurities that come up that I'm sure everybody does, even if they're in the most confident place, what is the best way to bring that up with a partner while also still maintaining that confidence?
I think that's hard, but we interviewed someone who was like, had a conversation, I think like 4 dates in, and was just sort of like, hey, I just want you to know that like, my body might change. It might get smaller. It might get bigger. And I just want to make sure that you know that that's always going to be what my life is like. And are you okay with that? Okay, let's move forward. And if they were not, like basically like asking if there was an assumption there was going to be change and it would be like, you know, losing weight. And she said, I mean, she married him, so went really well, but he was kind of like, I don't even know where this question's coming from. I think a lot of times, you know, like it's something that we need to get off our chest to move forward and feel comfortable. And I think that conversation does not need to happen that soon. But when you feel comfortable, I think it is worth bringing up and being like, hey, just so you know, like my weight is going to fluctuate and hopefully you're okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, clearly that worked out well.
Yeah,
for her.
Yeah,
it's ballsy,
but it's so ballsy. I think like if you just saying your feelings, you can say them without like being a blubbery mess or like being super insecure about it. You can just be like, "I'm feeling this way. Like, what are your thoughts on this?" And they might really surprise you and completely like change your feelings, or not change your feelings, but like what's the word I'm looking for, Alex?
I don't know. Just like motivate. Like, I don't know. That's probably not
reassure you.
Reassure. Yeah. Yes. They might reassure you. And so then your feelings aren't an issue. Like sometimes you just need to be reassured.
Yeah. I think it's just saying like, man, I don't feel good about my body today. Something that simple could be like a really great way to talk about it. Or like, I feel really uncomfortable in my skin today. And then, like, you can have a conversation that way. Because I don't think it needs to be this big proclamation like our guest had. You know, like, I think hers was kind of like, she just, that's how it came out for her. But I think you can say it in a way that's sort of, like, a little less scary. And sort of, like, I just don't feel like myself, or I don't, like, feel good about my body today. And just have a conversation from there.
Yeah, start to, like, bring them into that a little bit.
Yeah, because they're your partner. They should understand that there are good and bad days. And sometimes when you have bad days, that can feel like your relationship can feel affected. Like they don't love you or they're only with you for one reason. You know, those things can start to surface. And if you say how you feel in a really simple way, I think you can start to have that conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. So once you are dating somebody and, you know, kind of early dating stages, we had a listener ask, how can you tell if a guy is hiding you? She says, I'm plus size and I've had a lot of guys be what feels like very into me, dating me, et cetera. But when it comes to posting me on their Instagram or meeting their friends, I feel like they're avoiding it or hiding me because of my size.
I understand the not posting if that's not something, if they're not active on social media or they have a different social media, whatever, that it's social media. But if you're not meeting their friends and their family after a certain period of time, they're not taking you out on dates, they're not taking you in public, there's an issue.
Yeah.
Everyone's on their own timeline of like when someone should meet their friends or family. So I think like you, if you've introduced them to like your friends and family and they're still kind of putting that off, I would say that's a red flag.
Yeah.
And that might be that they're not like hiding you. That could also like show that they're emotionally unavailable.
So true. Like that could happen. That could happen no matter if there's any different size involved. Yeah. Like that.
It could happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
we blame everything on our weight for some reason. Well, I mean, because we've been told it's so awful, but like
right.
that it isn't every issue in your relationship or with yourself isn't because you're plus size. There could be like, they could just be a red flag besides your weight.
They could just be a walking red flag.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could just be an issue. That's, yeah. You know, they just have problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They need therapy.
But we like to assume it's our problem. It's all because of us, but it's, that goes back to the, when you're dating, do you like the person? Not do they just like you? There's so many layers to it.
Alex, you mentioned earlier that, you know, you've kind of struggled with not feeling chosen. Mm-hmm. And how do you suggest going about changing that mentality of not feeling like somebody is not feeling like lucky that someone is going out with you, and changing that mentality to feeling like the prize and the chosen one?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm still working on it. This is a
it's a journey.
Newer. Yeah, it's a yeah. journey. This is a newer realization for me. But I think it's realizing you are a prize first and foremost. And I think that's a lot of fake it till you make it. And just like keep saying that to yourself over and over, and doing not manifestations, but you know, like the positive lucky girl syndrome type stuff.
Yeah.
Like talking to yourself that way, I think does really help. It feels really goofy and silly at first, but telling yourself every day, like why you like yourself and like, I'm strong, I'm beautiful, like those type of things, I think they help a lot. Because you're talking to yourself positively, then you see that you want someone in your life who's going to talk like that to you as well. Because I think a lot of times I would pick people who, it's like I wanted to prove that they would love me despite things. That's not how you want someone to love you. And I think it's just like realizing that you have to be treated better. And that takes a really long time. And getting out of those habits is hard. I feel myself slipping into them sometimes and I'm like, oh, okay, got to cut this guy out. You know, like it's also therapy. Therapy helps a lot.
Therapy for the win. Truly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the things that I found really lovely also in our question box was that some of the questions, in fact, many of them didn't come from plus size listeners. They came from straight size listeners, and their questions were surrounding supporting friends and loved ones who are plus sized and dating and facing different struggles than they do. Mm-hmm. And so what would you suggest as the best way to be a supportive friend in that context?
I think actually being supportive and like listening to their thoughts and making their thoughts feel valid, because so many times, like before Alex and I were friends, one of the main things we talked about on our first meetup was that I'd take my dating profile and be like, are you sure this looks like me? like to my friends, does this look like me? Well, he knows I'm fat from this picture, right? And they're like, oh, of course he does. You're great. Like, and then like they like they're thinking they're being supportive, but they weren't listening to me and they weren't listening to my fears. They were just like, of course, you're great. But it's like, just if a friend is telling you fears or doubts, just listen to them and like actually hear them.
Yeah, they'll be like, they'd be lucky to have you. And you're like, okay, that wasn't the question.
You're like, I agree, but like, that's agreed. Not what we're talking about here.
Yeah, never said that they wouldn't be. But yeah, it's like, if I say like, it feels like it's harder for me to meet someone because of my size or something, some of my friends would be like, that's ridiculous. And it's like, okay, well, I understand that you feel like that shouldn't be an issue, but it is. And, you know, like, my friends who are straight size, they have more options than I do. So it is going to be a little bit harder to meet someone because not everyone has the same preference. And so my pool is just a little smaller. So if we're talking about that stuff, it's like, I don't know, sometimes they'll be like, well, I'm also having issues. And it's like, I get it. But ours are different. And so I think it's just listening and just realizing that like we both have similar, I mean, like we always say, dating is hard for everybody, but it's just like a little bit harder for plus size people. And so that's all we want is that acknowledgement.
Or anybody marginalized.
It's a little harder. Anyone marginalized, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of times I think people struggle with hearing one person's issues and thinking that those somehow negate the ones that they're struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
Like we can all be struggling in different ways at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or people we're all in it. I think it's just really listening to your friends. And then something that's not dating related, but I feel like every straight size person with a plus size friend should just hear this. It's all over the internet, but don't say, I feel so fat today, because you don't. You feel bloated. And then you make your friend feel like complete shit because you're so much smaller than them. So if you feel that way about yourself, like we automatically, well, what do they think about me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
like
correlates.
They don't want to end up like me.
Yeah.
And that feels shitty. Because like fat isn't a feeling. It's a descriptor word for, you know, like, oh, that avocado is fat. You know, like things can be fat, like people. And it's not a feeling, you know?
Yeah.
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought about the like fat is not a feeling concept before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you can, I think we all can say like, I don't feel like myself today. Mm-hmm. I don't like my body today. And those are very neutral. Like you can say stuff and about how you're uncomfortable and who you are in the moment. Everyone feels that way. We know that. It's just like when you say, oh, I feel fat today. It's like, okay, well, I'm fat every day. So. Yeah. Rude.
Yeah, because you're implying in that fat is bad.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like in that sentence.
Yeah. And we've all been taught that like through our whole lives. The 2000s were not great. So I think like any millennial like knows that like it's been equated that way. Like fat is bad. Just like thinking about like how Jessica Simpson was basically like murdered for wearing like these high-waisted jeans. And I remember thinking she's fat, man, she got gross because like that's what we were told. And so I think it's hard to change that thought process and feelings and like fat not being a feeling. Like it's hard. It's hard to stop saying it. But I think if you consciously are like, okay, I want to like talk about my body. How do I not talk about it in a way that's negative like that? And it's just being like, I'm having an off day.
Yeah.
Because that's really what you mean.
I like the phrasing that you used of like, I'm not feeling like myself today, or I'm feeling like uncomfy in my skin.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think that is a super relatable feeling that doesn't have size attached to it.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, that's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like that framing. I think people will too. I really appreciate it. This happens actually. I love our listeners for this. Anytime that we have a guest coming on to talk about a topic that, well, I mean, most topics don't apply to every single person, but anytime we have a guest on to talk about a topic that a lot of people won't have personal experience with, we almost always get questions from our listeners about, well, how do I support people who do have this experience? Like, yeah. It's just so lovely.
So that nice. Nice. Yeah.
I love that for us.
Mm-hmm. We posted a TikTok a little bit ago about like restaurant chairs. And like it went pretty viral, but there were so many people. Well, what are good chairs then? Like, what are comfortable chairs for you to sit in? And I was like shocked.
Yeah, they were like trying that. To be super nice.
Yeah, they're like, I have plus size friends. What chairs should we avoid? I'm like, whoa. Yeah.
Should we be calling the restaurants ahead of time? Yeah. And I was like, oh my god, yes, that's so nice of you.
Passionate. There's empathy in this world.
It really is. You look for it. It's really there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So on that note about kind of public settings and, you know, places where, you know, plus size people might feel uncomfortable, how do you or have you set boundaries about things that, you know, people say or, you know, things that have happened in social settings? You know, we got a lot of questions about like, well, this thing happened and I didn't know how to react or I didn't know if I could respond in the moment.
I mean, I think you can always respond in the moment. Depending, you know, like if somebody makes a comment to you, you can always like say like a stern little thing back. Like, so I've been told, you know, in workplaces, comments about my weight have happened a lot in public, or guys will come up and say, I have childbearing hips. And it's like, no, that's not okay to say. And then you can walk away like easy enough. No, is a full sentence.
Yeah. Right.
Preach.
Say it and walk away. Like, I think you'll feel better about yourself because so many things have happened. And then I go home and I think about it and think about all the things I would say. And once you actually clap back at them, it's so empowering.
It's also, I mean, like if you don't say something in the moment,
it's
like,
okay.
Sometimes you're stunned.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And you're like, whoa, I never thought that would like happen. I've definitely been in that situation where I was like, oh my God, I don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. But sometimes afterwards, I like to write out what I would have said. It just feels therapeutic. And, you know, like I said it somehow, maybe to the universe or whatever. But I think that's helpful sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I've done that with guys before where like if I dated some jerk and they did something and I just like didn't say anything about it and just went away and cried by myself, then I would like write down like, what do I wish
I had said
that I could have said to him?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've definitely done that.
Written some emails
in the strongly worded emails to myself.
Yeah. They just stay in drafts forever.
They stay in drafts.
So you're both single, you're both on the apps. A lot of people wrote in and said that they have specifically found less success on Bumble in plus size dating than other apps. Have you found there to be an app or apps that you find are better, or do you think that that's just a personal experience thing?
I think it's a personal experience and where you're living kind of thing, because apps, you know, Hinge is great in Chicago, but it's not great in Tampa, Florida. You know, I think it just depends on where you're living. And it's hard for everybody.
I agree that it's different everywhere. I've had bad experiences with Bumble personally. Like, I think it is a lot easier to, swipe right without seeing a full profile on Bumble, and Bumble's the one where you really have to put a face photo first, not like a full body. So a lot of people will swipe right and then unmatch like immediately, and for me that wasn't great for my mental health, because I would see all the people that match with me and at the end of the day I'd go in to like respond and they'd all be gone. So that was it was annoying to me that I like had all these matches and I was all excited. And then I was like, okay. And then they went and looked at my profile and they were like, no. And we had someone on who was saying that like a lot of guys were just like swiping right on everybody for a while.
They do that. I have guy friends tell me that they do that.
Yeah. I have guy friends who've told me that they do that.
Yeah.
They do it on Hinge too.
I know, but it's harder to do it on Hinge because you like run out of likes and Bumble, you don't have that. So I think it's just like, it feels like bigger fishing pond where they're just like throwing nets to everyone. But for me, that like wasn't great for my mental health. I don't, you know, but everybody's different. So I like Hinge a lot, but not everyone likes Hinge.
Yeah, I like Bumble more than Hinge.
Yeah.
But even like in New York, people have the opposite opinion.
Mm.
Yeah, I think everybody's going to have opinion of what works best for them. So what's easier for them, where they get the most matches, and then that's their app, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I go through all of them.
Yeah, they ebb and flow for me. Mm-hmm. I think on Hinge specifically, and I've talked to other women of color about this, I think it is Hinge is not as great for interracial dating.
Interesting.
You can filter on ethnicity for free on Hinge.
Oh.
And wow. Hinge has said, and this is true to an extent, but I think it has another effect that is worse than the one that they're trying to do. But Hinge has said that the reason that they have done that is because of research that they've done where people want to stay, if people want to stay within their community because it feels safer, that they can opt out of potentially negative experiences that they're getting from other communities.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's for sure valid. Also, this is my cat. This is Logan.
Hi.
Hi, Logan.
Hi, Logan.
He likes to sit like he's part of the furniture in these recordings. That is for that's valid. And also, it means that people can then filter out. And I guess I don't want to be dating somebody who would filter out Black women.
Yeah.
But like the fact that it's just so easy to just click, it's been a bad experience for me.
Yeah. That's fair. I can see that. How do you feel about Tinder?
So I have been having a Tinder renaissance recently.
Okay.
So Tinder got a new chief marketing officer pretty recently, and she has been doing this whole rebrand for them. I don't know if they did this in Chicago, but they wrapped the subways here with Tinder ads about relationships.
No,
and it was
all,
they said like, what was that? One of the catchphrases was, make a one night stand into two night stands.
Oh, I've seen that on social media.
Yeah.
That's cute. On
TikTok.
It was a
really good campaign. A really good campaign, and it was all over New York. And as part of that campaign, they were giving away Tinder premium memberships for a year for free.
Oh.
And so I snagged one of those. And so I've been using Tinder premium for free, and it's been really good. The guy that I've been on 4 dates with is from Tinder.
Tinder was my favorite for a long time.
I know.
My longest term relationship was from Tinder. All my friends have relationships from Tinder. Like, but then it also, you do get the worst messages on Tinder where they're just like, I want you to sit on my face. Like, and think more sexual messages from Tinder.
I mean, hear me out on this. Is that,
I'm nervous where this is going to go.
I know.
Is it a bad thing because you're finding out immediately?
Yeah.
No, it's great. That's great. I like to find out immediately, but it's just like, once you receive so many of them in a row, it like dehumanizes you a little bit.
Agreed. Yeah. I find that the guys that are just looking for sex on Tinder are, it's right there. It's
I like that.
They're either messaging me something like that, or like their only photo is a picture of like the penis muscles. Mm-hmm. And I could just immediately be like, mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I do feel like on Hinge, there's more manipulation.
Yeah, like on Bumble or Hinge, it's like several messages in. They're like, so how do you feel about S&M? I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, or even second date. And they're like, actually, I am not looking for a relationship. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Your profile said the opposite, that you wanted children and tomorrow.
This is different.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so Tinder, I don't know. I keep it up in mind. Maybe try it again, okay. Alex.
Yeah.
I've been digging it.
I've been thinking about it because I was on I was on Coffee Meets Bagel for a while because they were pushing a lot over here. And I didn't like it.
I'm off of it. I haven't been on it for a while.
I stopped too. It was just like a lot of, it felt really formal. All the messages I were getting were very like, hello, Alexandra, how is your day? Yeah, you're like, I feel uncomfortable.
It's so funny how digital communication has shifted so much that like somebody just addressing you in what is objectively a polite manner.
Right.
Is like awful.
It's an ick.
It is like an ick.
He was so polite. It was gross.
He asked about my day. Weird.
What's wrong with him?
He's just supposed to ask for my favorite taco order, obviously.
Yeah, right? I truly feel like I could chat with you guys forever. But I have to ask before we sign off, what is, if you could leave our listeners with one piece of advice, and it could be something we said already, but what comes to mind?
I mean, I think for me, it's making sure that your profile is genuinely about you and shows you at all different angles, full body photo. Definitely have a selfie type photo, or like one that's close up of your face, but also show you doing activities and like things that you like to do. I think that's really important. I like to have a photo of me and my friends, so I can kind of show like what my body looks like next to a straight size body. I think that helps a lot for me personally. Mm-hmm. That's totally up to you though. But I think like making sure that your profile feels like genuinely you and showcases you, what you look like in true life, is helpful. And then my other recommendation would just be like, go on the date. Mm-hmm. Even though you're scared, just do it.
Do it scared.
You can also add videos to like Hinge profiles, and that's really great. So your body's moving, so they see you at all angles, which is, it eases your mind a little bit. But also, if you're afraid to go on that first date, find like, and you have so much anxiety about them, find one really great first date outfit, and it's always your first date outfit. So you don't have to think about it. It's something you're super confident in. You know you look good in it, and you feel hot, and just like that's what you hit every single time. They have no idea that you've worn it, you know, three times last week. Just do it. Also, three dates in 1 week is a lot. So, you know.
Sounds exhausting.
I would never.
Like, it was a lot.
Yeah. I haven't been on a date in a year and a half. So I will say that.
I had a guy on a date recently tell me that once he went on 13 first dates in a week.
In a week?
What? 1 week.
It's like a second job.
That is. But was he really looking for a wife? Like he was like on the hunt?
He's looking for a relationship, but it didn't seem like he was like that zeroed in. But he's like, yeah, you know, you go to like coffee in the morning and then a happy hour and then dinner. I'm like, no.
That shows me that he doesn't have a personal life. Where is he fitting his friends?
That's what I said. Yeah, yeah. Like, what else are you doing in your life? Do you work? Do you have friends? Do you have hobbies?
Right. That's why I was asking if he was like truly looking for like a wife, because he was making it a job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Doesn't sound fun.
No.
No.
Yeah. It sounded awful. But this has been wonderful. This has not been awful. This has been very fun. Thank you both so much again for coming on. We missed Erica dearly. Her internet decided that she was not long done for this world today.
Yeah, done for the day. Done for the day.
Yeah. I was like, and we're out. Yeah, seriously. But thank you again. I'm so excited for our listeners to hear this. And please let them know, where can people find you?
You can find us anywhere. You can listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple, all the things. And then make sure you follow us on social media. It's at Swipe Fat on TikTok and Facebook. Oh, and we have the private Facebook group where you can join and meet a whole community of plus size women on Facebook. So search Swipe Fat Podcast on Facebook and we'll let you in.
Amazing. And you all also do trips, right? As part of your podcast community?
Yeah, we do Fat Babe Vacations. We are going to Italy in June. That one's all booked, but we have a trip to Spain coming up in October. We still have spots left, and we are going to Bali next October. So those are both, I think we have at least 10 spots for each.
And you can go to the link in our Instagram bio to get there.
Yeah, link in Insta bio.
Perfect. We didn't say this as we were recording, but that is how we got connected, because your trips are also through Trova Trip. And so that's how we ended up here. So I can, I can attest the trips are amazing. So
they are. We went to Greece last year, and it was just like really life changing. Yeah. To be with other plus size women traveling was something I'd never done before. And so it was really cool. It's heartwarming.
And I know that is, you know, you mentioned the thing about the restaurant chairs. I know from, you know, posts that you guys have done on social media and also other plus size people on social media that traveling, the anxiety behind traveling while plus sized is something that I think a lot of people think about that stops them from doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does.
And we want them to come with us. We'll all do it together.
There you go. Well, thank you again. This was so amazing and can't wait for everyone to hear it.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Bye.